May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I love reading the Old Testament. It's like reading a fascinating novel. Mystery, romance, humor, epic battles, infidelity. It's all there. The stories are chock full of quirky and intriguing characters. And there are all of these little touches that add texture and enhance our ability to visualize the described scene so it comes alive for us. For example, in Genesis we read of God strolling in the garden of paradise, quote, in the evening breeze. Whenever I read that passage, I immediately think of a glorious English garden at dusk. Most of all, I love the intimate, lively relationship between God and the men and the women of the Old Testament. They argue, bargain, and harangue God. They are not afraid to get angry, criticize, or laugh at God. Sometimes, the various characters are embarrassed, shameful, disappointed, defiant. One or two even try to hide from God. All of which sounds very human and contemporary, the way we might describe some of our relationships. It really is amazing how stories written thousands of years ago resonate with our daily lives. I think of the story of Abraham bargaining with God in an attempt to save Sodom and Gomorrah. That certainly sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Please, God, if I pass the geometry final, I will stop fighting with my brother. If I get this job, I promise to increase the amount of my pledge. God, heal my husband, and I will come to church every Sunday. And like Jacob, I suspect that a good many of us have spent several long nights wrestling with God. Because there is so much in our lives that is confusing and disappointing. And so, like Jacob, from time to time, we engage in fierce battles with God. Some of my heated discussions with God have to do with free will. Now, I understand the concept of free will, but I don't understand why I must suffer from the acting out of another person's free will. And when God was busy creating man and woman, couldn't he have come up with better models? After Cain killed Abel, you would think God would have spotted a design flaw and done a product recall. A common theme in all of these conversations, pleas, and arguments is an intimate relationship with God. Haven't you noticed that the people you are the closest with are the ones who trigger the most intense feelings? As painful as these middle-of-the-night arguments with God might be, they do help to define and strengthen our connection with God. And I think there is something reassuring about standing back a bit and reassessing our feelings about God. Now, for the past 6 weeks, several of us have been reading and discussing the book Daring Greatly by Brené Brown. The premise of the book is that we all yearn to have connections with others, a spouse, one or more special friends, perhaps a deeply loved pet. And through these connections, we become vulnerable because there is always the possibility of being hurt. Throughout our lives, we all experience varying degrees of vulnerability. It probably starts when we leave the security of the womb. If we think about it, Just about every day contains moments of vulnerability. The author's contention is that vulnerability is good because it springs from inner strength and courage. When we have self-confidence, we are willing to be vulnerable. We are willing to take risks in our friendships, professional associations, and riskiest of all, in our partnership with spouses, children, and other family members. There is always the risk of being hurt, experiencing real pain through rejection, betrayal, disengagement, and loss through death or broken relationships. Now, if we really think about it, to be in relationship with God is to be vulnerable. Abraham risked the life of his son, trusting in the ultimate fairness of God. Job was not only vulnerable before God, but in front of his family and friends. And think about the disciples in this morning's gospel. They risked looking like fools in front of the multitude, thinking a few loaves of bread and some fish would feed so many. Simply trusting that there is a loving and attentive God and inviting that God into our lives is to be vulnerable. What could be more vulnerable than standing at the bedside of someone we love in an ICU and praying for healing? Or asking God to guide a teenager or parent to freedom from drugs or alcohol? From earliest times in our lives, we are taught to pray, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened." But our life experience shows us that our prayers are not always answered in the ways that we seek or in the sought time frame, which is another form of vulnerability, because in those situations, it takes great trust and courage to hang on to the belief that God is paying attention, believing that there is light at the end of the tunnel when all seems so bleak and scary. When I flunked geometry, it felt like the end of the world and that I was a failure. But I graduated from high school and nursing school and eventually college. Other jobs do come along. And when we die, when those that we love die, our grief may be overwhelming. And it is hard to believe that we will ever feel healthy and whole again. Yet even the most intense grief will eventually give way to peace. The psalm reassures us that joy comes in the morning. Vulnerability is even present in times of calmness and happiness. In a recent sermon, Libby described herself as a first-class warrior, even in the good times. And I think that is true of a good many of us, particularly as we grow older and experience the various vicissitudes of life. Or, as Gilda Rathman used to say, it's always something. We know the other shoe will drop. I think everyone has had the painful experience of being let down or betrayed by someone we trusted. A confidence is repeated to others. A trusted friend refuses a request for help. Great joy or sorrow is met with indifference. However, call to mind the words of the Collect. To you, all hearts are open, all desires known, no secrets are hid. We can be completely transparent with God, because God knows us like a book and will never betray us, turn away, or be indifferent. With God, we can be our wonderful, imperfect, vulnerable selves. And the interesting thing is that But when we are intentionally transparent with God, we are transparent to ourselves. And that can be such a wonderful, liberating, inspiring, and gratifying experience. In his poem, Song of the Open Road, Walt Whitman wrote, "From this hour, I ordain myself loose of limits and imaginary lines, pausing, searching, receiving, contemplating. Gently, but with undeniable will, divesting myself of the holds that would hold me, I inhale great draughts of space. I am larger, better than I thought. I did not know I held so much goodness." Amen.
Amen. Amen.